Namo Vishnu Pidaya, Krishna Bastaya Bhutale, Shrimata Bhaktivedanta Swami Namanani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gaurvani Pachari, Namaste Shishunya Vari, Paskacha De Sitarni, Anchakopi Jubhijascha, Kribisandavicha, Pannam Bhavnevo, Vaishnevo Namon Maha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gurara, Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktivinam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we're, instead of having a Bhagavatam class, this is the Harinam week all over the world. They're having special programs and festivals in honor of the Harinam, chanting the holy name. So today's also the holy appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the in our disciple succession. They consider him the seventh Goswami. There were six Goswamis, intimate associates of Mahaprabhu, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur qualified to be labeled the seventh Goswami. So we'll hear about Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a little while. But first, they requested me to speak something about the glories of the holy name. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago at the request or the calling of Dvaitacharya and Haridasa Kaur. They were worshipping Shalagram Shila, and they were calling for the Lord to advent himself in this age, because this is the age of Kali Yuga. Kali means quarrel and hypocrisy. In this age, everything becomes very degraded. So the Advaitacharya felt that only if the Lord incarnated himself would there be any chance for delivering the fallen conditioned souls in this age. So before the Lord advented himself, the Lord's holy name came first. Sarvabhumbhacharya wrote 100 verses in glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He says, "Oh, what an astonishing thing! Oh, how wonderful! When the son of Sachi took birth in the age of Kali, women, children, dullards, fools, people of all descriptions became fully absorbed in chanting the holy name of Hari. Everyone is chanting the name of Hari and ascribing his qualities. Now the glory of the Lord has appeared in the age of Kali. Even the dog eaters, the Muslims, and the fools are chanting." So, the Lord Chaitanya, before he had, there was a solar eclipse. And it's the custom and practice in India that people, to counteract the inauspiciousness, eclipses are considered inauspicious. So to counteract the inauspiciousness of the eclipse, they go to take bath in a sacred river and half submerge themselves and chant the holy name before the eclipse and during the eclipse. So in Navadvip, this is what took place. All the people went to the Ganga. We're standing in the Ganga chanting the holy name before the advent of the Lord. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. So first, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First, the Maha Mantra advented itself, and then the Lord took his birth in, as the son of Mother Sachi. So this is a very glorious event. Of course, people didn't know that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who Lord Chaitanya is. It says, Goloke Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. So the holy name is not a material sound vibration. The holy name comes from the Goloka. And the holy name is the personification of Krishna. Krishna, name, form, qualities, pastimes. They're all identical on the absolute platform. Transcendental to the modes of nature. Ignorance, passion, and goodness. So the holy name is also transcendental to the three modes of material nature. But when the holy name invented first, and therefore the devotees in this Hare Krishna movement, well, not only are we devotees of Krishna, but we're also devotees of the holy name. And therefore, it is required that one take initiation into the holy name. Diksha, nam, take the nam, or name. And at the time of initiation, we take up the process of chanting at least 16 rounds of the holy name. So in the Upanishads, in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti sadashak namanam, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. Nata prata ro paya sarvadeshu drishyate. The 16 words of the Hare Krishna mantra are especially meant for counteracting the sins of the age of Kali. To save oneself from the contamination of this age, there's no alternative but to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. After searching through all the Vedic literatures, one cannot find a method of religion for this age so sublime as chanting Hare Krishna. And then we know that Lord Chaitanya himself chanted this famous verse from Brihan Nardya Purana. Harinam, 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 Evikevalo, Kaluva Nasteva, Nasteva Nasteva, Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there's no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. So it's repeated three times. No other means, no other means, no other means. Chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. So this is to stress the fact that one will not be misled to think that you can do something else and attain self-realization. There's many yoga societies, gyanis, yogis, karmis, so many gurus in this world, so many people, some people are claiming to be avatars, reincarnations, some people claiming to be the Kalki avatars, some this and that. But if they don't chant the holy name of the Lord, then they can understand that it's not a bona fide process for self-realization. It is one book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Harinam Chintamani. A very nice book describing the glories of the holy name. It says, in Satyuga, the Lord purified the sages by the process of meditation and then bestowed to them pure devotional service. In Treta Yuga, the Lord arranged for purification through performance of sacrifice. In Dwapara Yuga, the Lord gave the system of temple worship for purification. But seeing the pitiful state of the jivas in Kali Yuga, the Lord gave up hope in the process of jnana and karma and yoga. In Kali Yuga, the jivas are afflicted by short lifespan, many diseases, decreased intelligence, and decreased strength. The rules of anan ashram, analytical study, yogic jnana, and other processes of secondary indirect devotional service are not sufficiently powerful to deliver the living entities in Kali Yuga. Karma and jnana are indirect paths to bhakti, become crowded with obstacles, are no longer a practical method for advancement in Kali Yuga. The path of jnana depends on association of devotees in order to turn toward bhakti. And the path of karma depends on activities performed without desire, which is offered to the Lord selflessly in order to turn toward bhakti. These processes have been corrupted in Kali Yuga because instead of devotees, one finds imposters. Instead of selfless activities for purification of heart, one finds greed for material enjoyment predominant. There's no good effect, thus no good effect is produced. As well as the process for Dwapara Yuga, Archana has become spoiled by various evils. It says Archana means deity worship, spoiled by various evils. We can mention that even a few years ago, they gave Bunky Bihari a cell phone and blue jeans for some unknown reason. It wasn't very popular. I think they had to remove the pujari, made a court case. So these things, Kali Yuga, it says that selfishness, no such thing, selfishness. I mean, unalloyed bhakti or unalloyed, giving selfless, surrendering oneself, is not happening here. The difficulty is, due to the essential difference between the paths of karma and jnana and the spiritual end, Krishna prema, practice of these indirect paths only bring more difficulty to life and to the entities in the age of Kali. So, this is the Yuga Dharma. Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar. Krishna invented himself in the holy name because in this age, it says in the Bhagavatam that the people are misguided, unlucky, always disturbed, they have so many bad qualities. Therefore, not possible to do other paths. Krishna told Arjuna, you should go to the forest, sit down, lay kusa grass, or the deer skin, practice this Astanga Yoga. But Arjuna rejected it. He said, the mind is more restless, difficult to control than a raging wind. You try to control the wind with your arms. It's not possible. So this is in the age of Kali Yuga. Everyone is disturbed. They can't find a sacred, secluded place, do meditation, and they can't do meditation either because no one is qualified to do that. To simply sit down and do meditation, one has to be free from sex desire. So that's not possible in this age. So the holy name is the pure transcendental sound vibration. The question was raised in the 89th chapter of the Krishna book, that how can we chant the holy name, since it's a transcendental sound vibration, if we have a material tongue and material senses. So, it says that it is not possible. One may chant the syllables, H-A-R-E-K-R-S-N-A, and this is the semblance of the holy name. But the answer is that you can chant the only chant the holy name if you are purified, if with purified senses. In the mode of passion and ignorance, one cannot chant the holy name. Only from the mode of goodness or pure goodness can we actually come to the level of chanting the pure name. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, third chapter, verse number 24, that if one chants the holy name, but the ecstatic symptoms do not appear, like hair standing on end, voice faltering, tears in the eyes, then only it means that the heart is steel framed. So this is the problem. We all have this problem. People will ask me, how's my health? I tell them I have a heart problem. Steel-framed heart. Because we're chanting, people have been chanting the holy name for 20, 30, 40 years, but still the ecstatic symptoms are not there. So, we wonder why this is. One time there was a marriage party. It was late at night. They got on a boat to cross the river. The river was a big river. They had to cross the river. It took some time. So they got on the boat late at night across the river. And they fell asleep. They woke up in the morning and they looked around. They said, we're still in the same place. Boatman, what's happening here? We're still in the same place. He said, I don't know. I've been rowing all night. Then he looked. He said, oh, I forgot to pull up the anchor. You forgot to pull up the anchor. So this is the reason that we are chanting. But we're not. This is the reason that we're chanting, but we're not getting the desired result. Because we're still holding on to material attachments. Still holding on. When Draupadi was dragged into the assembly by the Kuravas, they wanted to do an abominable thing. They wanted disrobe of Draupadi in the assembly of the Kuras and the Pandavas. So Lakshmi was witnessing this. She said to Mahavishnu, Krishna, your devotee's in trouble. Why don't you go and help her? And Krishna said, she's still holding on. She was still holding on to her sorrow. But as soon as she let go, she went, hey, Govinda. Then Krishna incarnated, unlimited sari. So the same reason we're chanting the holy name, we may not be experiencing ecstatic symptoms because we're still holding on to our material desires, to the narthas in the heart. Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami that the narthas in the heart are innumerable. And they have to be washed away in order to come to the higher level. We have to be careful about the anarthas in the heart, to give up the anarthas and not create more anarthas. Sushi Gorni Dai Krishtabal Radhasham Ki Jai. So the Haridas Thakur says in this book, Harinam Chintamani, because of the offenses, aparads, is like a cloud. And because of this cloud, the shining effulgence of the holy name is not being shining for us. It's there. The holy name is always pure. It can never be contaminated, any condition. But our chanting is not pure because we're still being covered by the cloud in the form of aparad. There's nama aparad, seva aparad, Vaishnava aparad, and jiva aparad. These four aparads must be avoided at all costs. So we're not going to discuss the 10 offenses here because it's not take too much time. Someone else can do that. But the summary is given in this book. Says, therefore, the real devotee always avoids criticism of devotees and avoids harming the devotees and conversely serves them. This is the first offense, to blaspheme devotees or criticize devotees. So we should be careful to not do this. This is called sadhu, nindu. So we should be careful to always avoid criticizing devotees or harming them. He regards only Vishnu as the Supreme Lord. It says some people think that Shiva or Ganesh, Durga are an equal level of Vishnu, but we know that's not true. He gives utmost regard to persons who gives the holy name and teaches it. So therefore, that's the Guru should not disobey the orders of the Guru or disrespect the Guru in any way, or the Vaishnavas who are engaged in spreading the holy names around. He understands the exalted position of the holy name, which is purely spiritual, completely different from material means. He seriously attempts to give up the desire for sinful activities, the root of sin. So this, we should be careful not to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. It says in Bhagavad Gita, if one commits the most abominable activity, he's still considered saintly. That means someone by accident. Because the material nature is very strong and we are very weak, that the one can be influenced and overcome by the material nature at any moment. But if it's by accident, if it's not our desire, Prabhupada said even Ajamil was, his fall down was accidental. Harishari told me this. And he said, how's that? Prabhupada said, because in the beginning, when he first came in contact with the prostitute, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to get involved. But he was forced to, by some force of nature, he got involved. So Prabhupada said it. Someone falls down or does something against the principles, if he rectifies himself, if he comes back, then that he can be rectified, he's considered saintly. Even one person was working in a bar in America. He came back to the movement. Prabhupada made him the head pujari in one temple. So there's sinful activities. We may commit some sin by accident or by mistake. If you commit sin knowingly, that is not excused. Krishna will not excuse you by accident. So this should be carefully avoided. And because there's no prayaschitta, if someone does do something, if he continues the process, Krishna rectifies him from within the heart. There's no... He just has to continue chanting, continue the process of devotional service, and repent in a repentant mood. Not that we think it was okay. I did something wrong and it's okay. No, we should feel bad about it, repent about it, pray to Krishna that it never happens again. So he preaches the glories of the pure name to those people who have faith. This is Uttama Arakari. The Kanista Arakari, he cannot preach because he sees everyone as serving Krishna, except for himself. Prabhupada said in one lecture, even Srimati Radharani thinks everyone's serving Krishna, except for herself. So the Uttama Arakari comes down to the level of Majjhima Arakari to preach the message of the Lord all over the world. And to preach, you have to discriminate. If someone says is not interested, someone is critical of the devotees, and we avoid those people. If someone's innocent, they want to hear about the holy name, they come and listen to class, then those people are the people we should preach to, talk to. He distinguishes the holy name from material pious activities, and he chants with attention, and he surrenders completely to the will of Krishna. So the holy name of the Lord is not a pious activity, but it's meant for purifying all the conditioned souls in the whole world. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant for all living entities. This is a Sanatan Dharma, the eternal occupation of all living entities, to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, to revive our love for God. The definition of God is means the Supreme Person, no one is equal to or greater than. So God may have many names. Krishna Lord Chaitanya said hundreds and millions of names, but it's like the sun. The sun is in America, the sun is in China, the sun is in Russia, the sun is in India. But it's one sun. There's only one sun. It's not an Indian sun. It's not a Russian sun. So God is there for all of us. We're all living entities. We're all Jivara Swarupa Hoy, Krishna Nitya, Krishna Das. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. We're all meant to be to take up this process of chanting the holy name and go back home, back to Godhead. So the last one is one should chant with attention and should surrender completely to the will of the Lord. Yesterday was the appearance of Lord Vamanadev and the story of Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is the perfected the ninth process in devotional service. The ninth process is surrender, full surrender. So Vamanadev first appeared as a dwarf, as a forehand Vishnu form, then he transformed himself into a dwarf, Brahmana dwarf, like an actor on the stage. And then Bali Maharaj said, "You're a Brahmin, I can give you charity. What would you like?" And he said, "Well, I will take 3 steps of land." Bali Maharaj said, "Well, you're not very intelligent because I've conquered over all the heavenly planets. I can give you so much more." But Brahmana said, no, that's all I want, is 3 steps of land. But the guru, Bali Maharaj's guru, he was Sukacharya, he was materialistic. He knew this was Vishnu in disguise. So he said, "Don't give him anything, because if he takes everything, I won't get my maintenance. I won't get my monthly maintenance." So he was afraid of. But Bali Maharaj did not listen to him. He said, "I have to give. I promise to give. If you promise to give something to a Brahmin, you can't break your promise." So he promised, "Yes, you can take your 3 steps. So Vamanadev took 2 steps, covered everything in the universe, material world. Then he said, "Where should I put my 3rd step? He promised me 3 steps. Now you broke your promise." He said, no. So Bali Maharaj said, "You can put your 3rd step on my head." So this is the exemplary of full surrender. So this is how we have to chant the holy name with full surrender. Avoiding the offense. The 10th offense is to think I, me, mine. To maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the subject matter. So, we should chant, try to avoid the 10 offenses. We can do japa or kirtan as you like. Haridas, of course, says the living entity, you get 100 times more benefit by doing kirtan, because japa only benefits the individual, or kirtan benefits all the so many other souls who come to hear the kirtan. Especially here in Vrindavan, every day from the morning to night, we're having so many wonderful kirtans. People are coming from all over the world. They hear the kirtan. They begin to dance. The women, children, men, all ages. They hear the kirtan. They become alive and they start to dance. They start to chant with us. So I don't think you'll find that anywhere else in Vrindavan, where so many people are coming and chanting and dancing with us. So, in both ways, we can perform this Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name, and try to chant with great care and attention. This is required, that we just chant, just hear the name. To avoid there are so many distractions when we're chanting the name. Our mind is always distracting us. But we should try to just hear the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we should, if we may, those are initiated, we must chant at least 16 rounds a day, but we must chant, we can chant much more when the time is available. So now, we'll hear about the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Hare Krishna.
A glimpse. A glimpse into the life of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. Thakur Bhakti Vinod led a life of incessant labor and activity for Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He effected such immense good in the world that his work is only to be compared with the unbounded works of Shri Chaitanya himself and the Goswamis. It was the spiritual attempts and divine writings of this individual that turned the scale and led the intelligent and educated community to believe in the noble precepts and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. If we look back one century, we cannot but be astonished to find how degraded was the condition of the Vaishnava faith, which had its pure origin in the deep and majestic spiritual philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even vastly learned pandits could not fathom the super excellent precepts of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Yet due to incredulity born of the ignorance of uncultured men, the Vaishnava faith had been degraded and was considered a beggar's excuse for living at the expense of society. It was by sheer love for the Godhead that Thakur Bhakti Vinod expounded the deep philosophy which had remained concealed in the pages of the Vedas, the Upanishads and the Puranas and Bhagavatam. By his action towards divine service and also by his words set in simple language to be easily understood by readers in general, he has given this philosophy to the world. It is his writings and his divine unparalleled character that have helped to produce a class of educated and enlightened men who are now proud of their Vaishnava faith and of their acquisition of the spiritual knowledge of the pure and sublime philosophy of Krishna, on which the stern teachings of Sri Chaitanya are based. Though born in opulent circumstances on September 2, 1838, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, who was given the name Kedarnath Datta, had to meet many difficulties in his early life. His childhood was spent at his maternal grandfather's house at Bir Nagar, Ulagram, from where he came to Calcutta at the age of 13, after the death of his father. After he completed his education, he was requested to be present at the time of his paternal grandfather's death. His grandfather, Rajavallabhadatta, had been a famous personality of Calcutta and had retired to a lonely place in Orissa to spend his last days as an ascetic. He could predict the future and knew when he would die, since he could commune with supernatural beings. Thakur Bhakti Vinod was present at the eventful time when the great soul passed away, and after receiving his grandfather's instructions, he visited all of the major temples and ashramas of the state of Orissa. Bhakti Vinod Thakur then entered the educational service and introduced English education into the state of Orissa for the first time. He wrote a small book about the ashramas of the state and mentioned an ashrama which was on his ancestor's property. I have a small village, Choti Mangalpur, in the country of Orissa, of which I am the proprietor, he wrote. In that village is a religious house which was granted by my predecessors to the holy men as a holding of rent-free land. The head of the institution entirely gave up entertaining such men as chanced to seek shelter on a rainy night. This came to my notice, and I administered a severe threat that his lands would be cruelly resumed if in future complaints of inhospitality were brought to my knowledge. Bhakti Vinod Thakur later took to the government service and was transferred to Bengal. In one town, he gave a historic speech on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which attracted the attention of thousands. He made the world know what hidden treasures pervade every page of Bhagavatam, which should be read by all persons having a philosophical turn of mind. He was transferred some years later to a town called Champaran. In this town, there was a Brahma Daitya living in a great banyan tree, and he was being worshipped by many degraded people. A Brahma Daitya is a type of ghost. One day, the father of the famous girl scholar came to Bhakti Vinod for alms, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur at once employed him in reading the Bhagavatam under the shade of the banyan tree, which was the abode of the ghost. After 1 month, the Bhagavatam was completed, and then there the tree crashed to ground and the ghost was gone for good. Everyone was thankful for this act, except the few dishonest persons who were worshipping the ghost. Bhakti Vinod's next move was to Puri. The government commissioner was much pleased to get him in his division, and he asked him to watch the affairs of the temple of Jagannath on behalf of the government. It was through Bhakti Vinod's exertions that many malpractices were checked, and the time for the offering of foods before the deity was regulated to its extreme punctuality. Thakur Bhakti Vinod was especially entrusted to quell the rise against the government of one Bishak Sen, who declared himself to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. During the course of his investigation, Thakur Bhakti Vinod found him to be a hoax and a culprit, and charged him with transgressing government injunctions. After his trial, the fellow was sentenced to imprisonment for a year and a half, but he died shortly after in the jail. This man was really possessed of unnatural powers, but as they were the outcome of non-spiritual practices, he had to submit to Thakur when the latter wanted him to do so. Bishak Sen was held in a dread of by the common people, and everyone warned Srila Bhakti Vinod not to admonish him, even for the sake of justice, in view of the serious consequences that the yogi would inflict. But although the Thakur was not a man of ostentation and did not allow people to know his true qualities and spiritual strength, he easily cut down the demoniac power of the impostor. With the fall of Bishak Sen, there rose an impostor Balram at another village, and there was also other so-called incarnations of God, but their plans were similarly frustrated. During his stay at Jagannath Puri, Thakur Bhakti Vinod devoted much of his time to the discussion of spiritual works and prepared notes on the Vedanta Sutras, which were published with the commentaries of Baldev Vidyabhushan. He also composed the Kalyana Kalpataru, from which Vibhavari Shesha, one section, appears in this book. From this may very truly be termed as immortal work, and it stands on the same level as the divine writings of Narottam Das Thakur. In 1877, he left Puri on government service, and in 1881, he started a well-known spiritual journal called Sajjana Toshani, The Satisfaction of Pure Devotees. He also published the Sri Krishna Samhita, which revealed to the world the underlying philosophy explaining the spiritual existence of Krishna. This book opened the eyes of educated people to teach them their true relationship with God. It also attracted the admiration of many German scholars, for although the public regarded Krishna as a poetic creation of erotic nature, Srila Bhaktivinoda revealed Krishna as Parabrahman, the supreme transcendental person, the absolute being, on the basis of Vedic evidence. At the close of his stay at the village of Narail, he visited Vrindavan. There he had to encounter a band of dacoits known as Kanjaharas. These powerful bandits spread all over the roads surrounding the holy place and used to attack innocent pilgrims. Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought this news to the government and, after many months of struggle, extirpated the bandits from Vrindavan forever. From this time on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached extensively in large gatherings, explaining all of the precepts of the Sankirtan of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While staying at Barasat, Thakur Bhaktivinoda met the famous Bengali writer Bankim Chandra. This novelist and playwright had just finished writing a book on Krishna, and knowing Srila Bhaktivinoda to be an authority on topics of Krishna, he gave the manuscript of to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to see. It was full of mundane Western stylized speculations and ideas. But after 4 days of discussion, Bhaktivinoda had the whole text revised by Bankim Chandra to accommodate the pure supramundane precepts of Lord Chaitanya. During his last year at Barasat, Bhaktivinoda was requested by a noted High Court judge to publish an authoritative edition of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita with the commentaries of Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as well as his own translation. The preface written by Bankim Chandra expressed his gratitude to Thakur for his endeavor, and when it was published, the copies were soon exhausted. Then Thakur Bhaktivinoda published a unique work entitled Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, The Nectarian Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which dealt with Lord Chaitanya's theistic philosophy and the philosophies of the Western speculators. This book defeats every other philosophy point for point and establishes the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya as supreme. In 1885, he started a society named Sri Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha for the propagation of pure Hari Bhakti. Many eminent citizens of Calcutta joined the society, and several committees were organized with assigned duties. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so anxious to see the land of Lord Chaitanya that he applied many times for a transfer to any town nearby. Upon not receiving the desired transfer, he formally submitted a resignation from public service, but it was refused. Then, to his great rejoicing, he obtained a transfer to Krishnanagar, 25 miles from Navdeep, Mayapur. Once stationed at a place near Navdeep, he did not let a single free moment pass without visiting the land of Navdeep. He at once made inquiries about the exact whereabouts of the different places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He soon discovered that the then city of Navdeep was a town of only 100 years standing. So he was curious to locate the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He was convinced that the town of Navdeep was not the authentic location, and he at once commenced a vigorous inquiry to find the truth of the matter. But he could not easily escape from the people who tried to make him believe that the birthplace of Chaitanya was at that town. Then after careful inquiry, he was told that the site was lost under the shifting course of Ganges. Not satisfied with this explanation, he himself set out to discover the Yoga Pitha. After great difficulties, he came to know of a place which was being adored by many realized souls as the true birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which was then in the possession of the Mohammedans. Local inquiry and corroborative evidence from ancient maps of the latter part of the 18th century, which showed the name Sri Mayapur, at last helped him to discover the real site of the birthplace. The discovery led to the publishing of a valuable work called Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Chapter 5 of this book has appeared in ISKCON's Bengali Back to Godhead magazine. The year 1895 was the most eventful year in the history of Vaishnava world, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the prime mover of the events. It was in this year that he officially memorialized the birth site of Sri Chaitanya and brought its true identity and importance before the public eye. Thousands of visitors were present at a function held at the spot. Just after retiring from government service, Thakur Bhakti Vinod himself, in the spirit of perfect humility and with a view to giving a firm standing to the discovery, went from door to door to raise funds for a temple. In the Amrit Bazar Patrika newspaper on December 6, 1894, the following article appeared. Babu Kedarnath Dutt, the distinguished deputy magistrate who has just retired from the service, is one of the most active members. Indeed, Babu Kedarnath Dutt has been deputed by the committee to raise subscriptions in Calcutta and elsewhere, and is determined to go from house to house if necessary and beg a rupee from each Hindu gentleman for the noble purpose. If Babu Kedarnath Dutt sticks to his resolution of going around with a bag in hand, we hope that no Hindu gentleman whose house may be honored by the presence of such a devout bhakta as Babu Kedarnath will send him away without contributing his mite, however humble it may be, to the Gaur Vishnupriya Temple Fund. Truly, Thakur Bhakti Vinod honored the houses of many persons for the fulfillment of the noble object he had undertaken. He went to persons to whom he would not have gone for any purpose but for this mission of Lord Chaitanya. And his efforts were not fruitless, since the sum collected contributed to the construction of a building on the holy site of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The work of preaching the holy name was also in full swing, and it spread fast into the distant corners of the globe. The Gauranga Smarana Mangala Stotra, which with a preface in English containing the life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya, came out from Bhakti Vinod's pen soon after the discovery of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace and found its place in all the learned institutions of both hemispheres. The more the names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna were preached, the merrier was Thakur Bhakti Vinod. He thereafter made annotations of Sri Brahma Samhita and Sri Krishna Karanamrita and gave to the world his immortal and precious work Sri Harinama Chintamani and Bhajana Rahasya. He also edited with commentary Srimad Bhagavatark Marichimala, which contains all the most prominent shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam pertaining to the Vaishnava philosophy. His pen never tired, and it produced many other Vaishnava philosophical works. He would begin his writings very late at night after completing his government work and stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning composing songs and literatures. Most of his works appeared in the Sajjana Toshini magazine. He was equally engaged in writing and in preaching the holy name in many districts of Bengal. His personal appearances at villages had marvelous effects on the people. To maintain the center at Nadia, he built a house at Sri Godruma Dweep, which is called Sri Swananda Sukhananda Kunj, Swananda Sukhada Kunj. Here in this abode, the preaching of Harinam continued in full swing. It was at the beginning of the 20th century that he chose to live at Puri and build a house on the beach front there. Many honest souls sought his blessings and readily obtained them when he accepted the renounced order of life by taking Babaji initiation from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji in 1908. Though he was leading the life of a renounced soul, he could not avoid the men of all description who constantly visited him. All of them received oceans of spiritual training, instructions and blessings. In 1910, he shut himself up and remained in a perfect state of samadhi or full concentration on the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In 1914, he passed on the blissful realm of Goloka on the day which is observed as the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhara. Here we quote a stanza written about the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which Srila Bhaktivinoda wrote sometime in 1871 to explain what influence a Vaishnava carries in this world even after his departure. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live and living try to spread the holy name around. Srila Bhaktivinoda predicted, soon there will appear a personality who will preach the holy name of Hari all around the world. It is clearly understood that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is that personality. Srila Prabhupada ki, I offer my prostrated obeisances first unto all the devotees that have surrendered unto His Divine Lotus Feet and next unto the devotees who will in the future take shelter of His Lotus Feet. And I then offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of His lotus feet again and again. May He bless this first translation attempt so that it may be accepted by Lord Shri Krishna, and may He engage me in His service of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya and Radha Rani. It's written by Achyutananda Swami. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande.